we can't call it in. And you can't say, if you need anything, give me a call, because people just need to have somebody nearby. Say, I'm just going to sit at your feet. I won't be far away. I will park outside while you're inside during that really difficult meeting. And you don't even need to come and say hi. I just want you to know that outside on the curb is your getaway cart. It's a strategic whimsy. It's thinking through how could I be there in really practical, tangible ways.
Welcome to The Lisa Show, where we take a good look at life. Do you ever get the feeling that you don't have enough time for all the people who need you? Like maybe you're having an important conversation with your teenager who, you know, rarely shares in the car on the way to school where you volunteer, when your phone starts ringing and it's the person who texted you that you've been meaning to respond to, but it got buried underneath everything else. And it's getting to the point where when you make a new friend, you start to kind of dread that maybe you can't keep up. Some of that feeling that everyone needs you all the time is inevitable. You can't be in more than one place at a time. If you're a parent, especially of multiple children, that's enough to push you to the max already. Multiple kids will ask for your full undivided attention at the same time. It's not physically possible, but you will feel the stretch anyway. And it doesn't have to be kids. If you participate in a community or really have any relationship with human beings who have feelings and needs, I think you'll understand. Today's guest is Bob Goff. You've probably seen Bob somewhere in your Instagram feed. He's that lovable older gentleman who reminds you of your favorite uncle that's, you know, always dropping tidbits of wisdom wherever he goes. He's a human rights lawyer turned writer, speaker, advocate, and coach, and he prides himself on being available. His life work is helping people achieve their dreams and live intentional, impactful lives. And he and I had a really interesting conversation. You're going to hear him describe a lifestyle that frankly is difficult for me to completely wrap my head around. But it did make me think and inspired me to tweak my self-talk about how I use my time. I think there's something in this for everyone that will give you some peace about the never-ending push and pull of trying to be there for the people you love. Bob squeezed me in the other day between meetings at a conference surrounded by thousands of people.
Oh, hey, it's Bob here.
Hi, Bob. It's Lisa. How are you?
Sorry, it's been a little bit of a crazy day. I'm hiding out here at a hotel. There's 10,000 Chick-fil-A people here, and they're next door. So it'll be great to do this podcast before they all arrive here.
Yeah, no kidding. And hopefully they'll bring some delicious chicken sandwiches with them. The least they could do, right?
Bring it.
I just want to start off by asking you what you do on a daily basis to just stay so motivated and positive.
Yeah, I think part of that, there's a great book I'm reading, and it comes from this idea of being clear about what you're aiming for. So for some people, faith that guides their steps, it's a big deal for me. It's not for everybody. For other people, like a desire to create a great legacy. For other people, it's to bring some joy. One of my overriding themes is availability. I just love being available. And so I just say, what are ways to be more available? So I don't make a lot of appointments. When I do, I mess them up, but I just get available. Oh, so there's 10,000 people gathering. So rather than making appointments with people, I just sit in the lobby. And when they all walk by, I get to say hi. So that is just such a better way for me to do it. So in terms of saying, like, what keeps you upbeat or positive? People usually give off that vibe of positivity when they're operating within their gifts and their strengths and that they're clear about their objective. There was a great book, maybe I've heard it. It's not the Boys in a Boat. There was a crew out of the UK that were actually doing awful. Every time they got out there, always came in last place. And they changed their paradigm every time an opportunity came by them. They asked this question, will it make our boat go faster? So if they got invited to compete somewhere, they'd say, well, will that make our boat go faster? if they had a new exercise discipline or somebody invited them over for donuts, will it make the boat go faster? And they only did the things that made the boat go faster. So maybe a long answer to the question is I try to do things that make the boat go faster. And it's not just more activity, because I'm pretty amped. It's more meaning, more purpose, more depth. Asking less, will things work? And I'm asking instead, will this last? Will it actually matter? Relationships matter. Being available, having a reputation for being available. I put my cell phone number in the back of 3 million books, so I get a lot of phone calls.
Let that sink in for a moment. Personally, I hesitate when they ask me for my cell phone number at the grocery store so I can apply a coupon for 50 cents off Black Forest ham. Bob Goff prints his in his books, and he's quick to acknowledge that this isn't for everyone.
Oh, it's crazy. It's awesome. I can't get a thing done.
You're okay with that? Because I think to some people, that would just be really stressful.
I'm married to one of those people. Yeah, so that would not be her idea. Sweet Maria wouldn't dig that. But I think we each get to decide, how did we come hardwired from the factory? And I've noticed that people write a country western song or get a bit part in a movie or write a book or something, and then they get unavailable. They have people that are their keepers, or even some pastors, they have green rooms they hide in. And I'm like, get a night security job. Like, if that isn't your jam, it's fine. But if people light you up, just get available. I don't send people to voicemail. So when the calls come, I just take them, living a life of being constantly interrupted. I love that. That's awesome.
Something that really stands out to me about Bob's attitude is, first, that he's decided what he wants his priorities to be, and he's committed hard. And second, he's not fazed when it's tricky or complicated to do that. For example, he completely embraces the idea of being interrupted all of the time without taking it on like there's something wrong with that, which is kind of a hot take. I don't feel like I've ever heard people describe this flavor of busy, being constantly interrupted, as a positive experience. But Bob is at peace with it, and this got me thinking about burnout and the feeling so many people have that they're not doing enough, even when they're at capacity. I feel guilty when I get called from one thing to another, like I failed somehow to finish the conversation, or I failed by not having more time to begin with. Bob doesn't get to finish most of the conversations he starts. And as an expert of being available and making maximum impact with his time, Bob knows that this is okay. He's aware of his limits and lets go of what he can't do. But there's one thing that Bob does recommend, a simplified version of being available that anyone can apply daily to live a more intentional life.
Well, you could start by keeping track. If you watched on Instagram for 1 year, you'll find everybody's birthday, bar mitzvah, anniversary, all that. Write them all down. I do. And then I start out my day by just saying hi and happy birthday and all that to the people that matter the most. Practices like that. I jot notes to 10 people a day, people that I don't know. And it's not because I'm looking for new friends, but just people that have had some crazy stuff happen, just to reach out to them, to say, man, like, that was pretty crazy. Are you doing okay? That's been great. We live here in San Diego. And last week we heard this roar of these jet engines and then this big bang noise. And that was the sound of the two pilots ejecting out of the fighter plane as it then circled over the house and augured in into the bay about 500 yards away. And I found out the guys, and I'm inviting them over for dinner. And I don't know them from Adam, but just like they went through something really harrowing that was probably a little bit embarrassing to their friends. I try to find 10 new people every day.
Wow.
To connect with.
Does your advice change for people who are in your family, like say your wife, for example, or your kids, or like in your community, your friends? How are you more intentional with those who you're closest with?
Yeah, we have this really neat thing. If you went to Sunday school, like God creates the heavens and the earth, and then he hovers over it. And he looks at what he created and said, it was good. And so just think about the people that you hover over in your life. Like, think about if you have a spouse or significant person in your life, if you made some people like we did, hover over each kid and say, look, what does Lindsay uniquely need that only I can give her? Because if she needs a ride somewhere, she can get that to Cleveland for $5 with Uber, but she needs just time. And then what does son Adam need that only I can uniquely give him? He needs just a partner in crime. He needs somebody to jump into the mess and imagine with him and pull the thread a little bit. What does Richard need that only I can give? And then go to your grandkids if you made some of those. So I think that's just a great practice to hover over. And then you can do a little bit of an audit. Just start with everything that starts with the letter F, like faith, family, fun, finances, Ferrari if you want one, philanthropy if you can't spell. But just instead of just saying, oh yeah, she's good, but to just say like, hey, how's it work? Are we getting enough family time? How's it work with your family? Is it feel like you're a Pinocchio and everybody's got a string except you? Like asking those questions, it just takes sitting down. And that kind of, to your point, being intentional really works out great for people.
You know, I actually have an experience with this one. Bob is talking about thinking really carefully about individual needs and then taking things off your plate if that need can be met other ways. And you might not know what those things are until you have a dialogue with someone. A few years ago, I was starting to carry so much guilt that I was working a full-time job as the only living parent to my last kid at home. Because even though I knew she was at school all day, I just felt like she was having a different experience than my other kids had, and she must feel like I'm so unavailable or I'm not around to help if she needs something. And at some point, I said to her, hey, you know, I'm really sorry that I'm not home more like when you're at school. And she said, oh, I don't care about that. Point blank. And so I have learned. I'm off the hook to be at home 24/7 waiting for her. But what she needs and what she will text me from time to time is, hey, mom, I need some Taco Bell. And that is our cue for some mother-daughter bonding over Doritos Locos Tacos. I know that, hey, we need to go for a drive and we're going to have important conversations and I need your undivided attention. And she lets me know when that is. And I get in the car and we go. Also, if you need to know when the Mexican pizza is on the menu, like, just let me know. I know when that is now. What I've learned and what I think is really important is if you're feeling pulled in a lot of different directions, don't let ignorance add to the stress. Ask people what they need from you, and you might be surprised at what you can let go of. Worst case scenario, they say they need something that you absolutely do not have bandwidth for, and you were already living with that fear, so at least now you can negotiate it. And when you do have that time together, Bob has some advice for how to cheer up people who are really going through it.
Sometimes those two words, like I'm here and actually be there, it's that idea that you hear a lot of times with sweepstakes, must be present to win. So we can't call it in. And you can't say, if you need anything, give me a call, because people just need to have somebody nearby. Say, I'm just going to sit at your feet. I won't be far away. I will park outside while you're inside during that really difficult meeting. I'll just be parked outside. You don't even need to come and say hi. I just want you to know that outside on the curb is your getaway car. I just want you to know I'm just parked here. And there's something really cool about that. They'll think about that three times, just knowing that you're in the getaway car. And there's something beautiful and whimsical, and it's a strategic whimsy. It's thinking through.
Yeah.
How could I be there in really practical, tangible ways? And there's an overarching idea that most people want to be influenced. They don't want to be controlled. So sometimes in our friendships, that we do it for good reasons, but we execute it poorly. We start controlling people rather than influencing them. So I would just be mindful of that. And so if people are dealing with difficult things, and we all are in different respects, just knowing somebody is for you, that will point out, they see who you're turning into. You'll know the safest people in your life won't tell you what to do. They'll remind you about who you already are. And I just like that idea. It's not blowing sunshine at people. It's to say, man, I've seen you in tough scrapes. If you've got kids, I used to have a mirror I would hold up to the kids and I would have them look at the mirror and I say, I see in that person. And I just tell them all the things I see in them. So think about that for the people that are going through hard times. Bring a mirror, let them see themselves, and then leave the mirror with them. I promise you, 6 years from now, they're still going to have that mirror. They're going to say, it felt like a dumpster fire until you showed up and we started warming our hands.
I love that. And that idea of being present and must be present to win is such a great idea. And I think this is something that our society struggles with. We certainly are talking about it more. It's this idea of distraction and people not being present. What do you think it is about distraction that we don't understand?
I think there's a ton of stuff like that. We get easily distracted by things that don't matter. So if you have more of a focus of like, how do I make my boat go faster? What is it that I'm moving towards? Then you won't be distracted by all the things around you. And when you are, you'll know your tells. Like if I get distracted by this and that, then I just know I'm not very focused right now. I need to kind of regroup.
For someone who's struggling with that, what sort of advice do you give them?
Yeah, I would just maybe pick 3 or 4 things, write them on a 3x5 card, put those 3x5 cards everywhere. Just put them on the doorpost of your house, put them in your rearview mirror. Say if you're distracted by what is behind you, put something on your rearview mirror. Say, this is for combing your hair. This is not for looking back anymore.
Bob's advice about distraction, identifying it, and making reminders for yourself of what really matters to you extends to another area of life. This form of intentionality is something that Bob uses in his spiritual life to stay focused and connected to God.
For people where, again, faith guides their steps, I'm big on doing stuff, mm-hmm. not just thinking about it. Yeah. Stalkers collect information. Like, that's what they do. They have all this information on people they don't really know. And I don't want to stalk Jesus. I actually want to know what's going on. So what he talked about is Matthew 25, hungry people, thirsty people, sick people, strange people, naked people, and people in jail. So I have a friend that's here with me. We just got back from San Quentin, and I've been teaching there for 8 years, I want to say, every month.
San Quentin refers to San Quentin Rehabilitation Center, a men's prison in Northern California.
So there's 800 guys that have been in my class at San Quentin. I learned so much from them. They haven't learned a lick from me. That would be an example of how you do something rather than just agreeing with Jesus. Instead of reading something saying, what a swell idea, somebody ought to do that, just actually go do it.
I would love to hear more about what you've learned working at the penitentiary.
Oh, these guys are great. They're people that have actually done a lot of wrong, but they have bright futures. And now their futures will most likely be lived out within those walls. And yet these guys care so much. I get so many calls, 40 messages a day from these guys at San Quentin. Yeah, so they care about me more than my friends care about me.
Do you feel that? Sincerely?
Oh, yeah, they're awesome. Yeah, they are my friends. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about the work that you do and how you came to have these like real friendships within.
Oh, yeah. Well, the warden's wife read one of my books and then he called up and said, do you want to come up? And I'm like, heck yeah. And then once I was there, I found out that they get time off their sentences by going to classes. So I thought, why don't I start a class? It reduces their sentence every time. It's awesome. So we do classes on creative writing. And I tell guys, don't talk about what got you in here. Like, let's talk about puppies or your first birthday or something. So we'll do writing classes and classes on what are your ambitions and classes about some of the regrets that they've had. And it's great. It was really beautiful. Like, they're just guys that are eager to learn and grow, and they take a genuine interest in each other and in the people around. I've really grown a lot by being near them. And I love the staff there, the guards that are watching them. Some of them are a little hardened, as I could imagine would happen. But most of them, the wardens, the people that run stuff, those guys are real heroes. I love them.
So how have you changed how you live your life or what you think from this experience?
Well, when these guys get out, we stay in pretty close formation with them. So I'm on calls like this with them all the time. Then we help try to find them jobs. And if they lose the job, try to find the next one. We hook them up with some interview clothes. And yeah, so it's a really kind of ongoing thing. I own a retreat center. So we're doing a camp where they can just go have some fun with their family and their kids if they have them and all that. So I just love that. It's just invaded our life in such beautiful ways. One of the guys that wrote a lot of the letters that make up the Bible is Paul. And he wrote to his friends. And he said, the only thing that matters is faith expressed in love. And so I just think for each person in their own way, instead of trying to control people and what they do, just influence them. We don't need more information. We need more examples.
At this point in the conversation, you can probably imagine what happened next. Bob and I have been talking for over 20 minutes while he sits in a hotel lobby surrounded by other people who want to talk to him. And to make the most impact with his time, he has to say goodbye.
I appreciate you spending a couple minutes. This is good. I got to skedaddle, but man, what an honor to get a little bit of time with you.
Isn't that a beautiful way to sign off? I think when we get overwhelmed with the demands of other people on our time, some of that dread is the perceived gap between what we want to do and what we realistically can do. Nobody wants to fail. Nobody wants to let someone else down, especially a friend or neighbor in need. But part of intentionality is acknowledging your limits without taking on guilt for having them. I thought so much about how Bob demonstrated this way of sharing his time, even while he was talking about it. In the years I've been doing The Lisa Show, I don't think I've had an interview this short since our morning radio days. With most guests, we chat and small talk, and then I ask questions, and it can take up to an hour or more. It's really fun. I love talking to people. But Bob knew what we needed, what he could do, and he shared what he had, and then said, "I got a skedaddle, but man, what an honor to get a little bit of time with you." And I think that underlines what he shared, which boils down to, when you want to make a difference, but your time is spread thin, shed the guilt and just give what you have. Not more than you have, but everything you have, trusting God will make up the difference. I'm ending this episode a few minutes early today. I got a skedaddle. Thanks for listening. It's an honor to get a little bit of time with you.
The Lisa Show is a production of BYU Radio, hosted by Lisa Valentine Clark. This episode was produced by Becca Hurley with help from Erica Price, Blake Morse, and Kenny Mears, with post-production by Gracie Davis. A special thanks to our guest, Bob Goff. You can find out more about Bob's books, courses, and his podcast on his website, bobgoff.com. A link will be in our show notes. And be sure to check out The Council of Moms, available on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. As always, thanks for your messages. We read them all, and thanks for listening.
If you're looking for a podcast the whole family can enjoy, check out this new show, Constant Wonder Kids. It takes stories from the BYU Radio original podcast, Constant Wonder, and transforms them so kids can join in on the adventure. Constant Wonder Kids turns everyday moments into extraordinary nature explorations designed for curious kids and the grown-ups who love them. Together, you can discover fascinating facts and true stories about amazing people doing incredible things in nature. So join us as we dive deep into the ocean and meet an unexpectedly friendly whale shark, or cheer for tiny athletes at the International Hedgehog Olympic Games. Yeah, that's a thing. Constant Wonder Kids is perfect for road trips, bedtime listening, or when your brain's got an itch that needs to be scratched. New episodes drop Mondays, so tune in to Constant Wonder Kids on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.